Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hit podcast decided by just me, Self-Esteem Party. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and I am joined by the most producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, thanks so much for your, as always, mandatory attendance.
I still live here, if anyone is wondering. I thought you were going to say hip-hop cast.
Don't mind if I do. Allow me to reintroduce, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hip-hop cast self-esteem party.
Imagine you did a hip-hop podcast.
And why not? Norm, how are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay.
Let's get into it.
You know what? I'm doing average. Let's dig in deeper.
I'd love to hear the details.
Listen, we had some trying times. I think we're all back on track.
What were the trying times? I thought we'd been cruising.
No, we're doing good. As I had mentioned on a previous podcast, I am back at work, which has created a new set of problems and a new set of joyous occasions.
And a massive marital strain.
Has it been a marital strain?
Yes, Norm. You're obnoxious walking around the house stressed out all the time while I'm cruising.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
It is, and you're dumping on me like a poo in a toilet.
Yeah, it is. Like, I think we talked about this briefly about how, like, being a comedian, the one thing you need to do if, like, you know, your natural comedy abilities don't guide you anywhere is to, like, take those skills you have and then, like, apply them.
Way to reveal our wedding vows.
With a skill set or whatever. And it turns out, like, you know, taking those skills and making, like, TV for, like, a big company is, like, very stressful.
Wouldn't know it, wouldn't show it. And that's the difference between you and I.
But overall, it's been like, I do feel like it's brought me back to what I should be, is closer to an average. I'm getting better. The first couple weeks, it was a big change, right? We're doing nothing, sitting around for 7 months, and all of a sudden, it's like, hurry, hurry, hurry.
So now you feel you've been doing better in this, what, last hour, or?
This morning.
Wow, what a change.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there were some bumps in the road this weekend, but, you know, that's just adjusting to the situation, I suppose.
That's life with Norm, yeah. One of my wilder roommates in the house.
And listen, it sounds vague and stuff, but it's like, you know, there's, when you're trying to create or producing a piece, it's like there's so many moving parts, especially now. Like, the COVID stuff adds another level of uncertainty, and who knows if someone tests positive, you have to cancel a shoot, blah, 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 blah.
It doesn't help that I keep coughing on everyone.
Yeah, that doesn't help at all. But yeah, overall, things have been good. And did you give, you were about to interview Chris.
That's right. Longtime friend.
I've known Chris forever.
Yes. And comedy peer, Chris Locke. We had a very good conversation. I did not give a self-esteem party at the check-in.
Oh,
I was so involved in his. Well, I want to hear yours first, Norm. Scale of 1 to 10. How are you feeling in terms of your self-esteem today, the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks? Maybe let's focus on today, because we know the last couple of weeks have been down in the dumps.
Well, you know, there was a couple of points earlier last week where I was very panicked, and then it turned into chaos, and actually, I enjoyed it. I think when, like, anything, we talked about this, when things, like...
But we didn't do an episode last week, so the world doesn't know.
No, but, like, when everything is a mess, like, when you're, you know, and nobody knows what the fuck is going on, I kind of thrive in that, and I start to, like, laugh maniacally, because it's, like, everyone's helpless. So I'm, like, I feel actual bliss out of... Like, the chaos, this mess.
Weird, you would have responded better to the pandemic on the whole then. I figured this would have been your highest self-esteem
time.
Well,
that was more tragic. I mean, when it's, like, a situation that doesn't really matter, like, whether or not a shoot takes place and it's all crumbling, I'm like, well, fuck it. Everyone's in the same boat. No one knows what the fuck's going on. Let's party.
Weird, because my only thing I have is keeping the house clean and in order. So needless to say, we are not on the same page or even in the same book. He's shaking his head at me.
So
yes, I understand thriving in chaos because you're just like, I'm in it and there's no way out of it. So might as well just enjoy it.
Right. And so I was feeling a bit of that. And now today I feel a little more grounded.
Give us a numby.
I'm going to say I'm a 5.
And feeling alive, you have got to see him. He's glowing. Okay.
How are you feeling?
Wowee. Well, here's the thing. I just finished recording with Chris, which left me in a real high. I really enjoyed it. You
chatted for a while after the
we
podcast,
we chatted for
too.
So long. It was such a nice catch-up. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked in so long.
It's been a long time.
And but I will say this morning, I was a bit in the dumps.
Right.
And I have been the last couple of days because it's starting to hit me of, but for real, what am I going to do?
Right.
I feel like a housewife that doesn't have a house and a single mom that's married and has no kids. So you can see all the conflicting emotions I'm having. So I'd say this morning, like, I guess I would have been a 5, which is a high for you and a medium semi-low for me. Mm-hmm. And I guess now post-recording with Chris, spoiler alert, I'm probably a 7.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he really brought me up. We had a really good time. But yeah, I was journaling this morning, and you guys got to see these entries. They're a snooze, but I will be publishing them. But I was journaling this morning, and I just wrote, and I actually wrote this out verbatim. I wrote out, but for real, am I fucked? Wow. And that's what I wrote.
Yeah.
Because
I think that's a question a lot of people are asking.
And that's the thing, right? And look, we've got a good situation. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm losing grip. So I'm like, oh my God, like really, what is it going to take to get back on track? Because I've abandoned the check system. I don't know if you've noticed, there's no checks on the calendar.
Yeah.
I've abandoned the check system. I'm not doing all the daily self-care routines because for what, for who? There's other things I should be caring about.
Right.
But I'm helpless in caring for a lot of those things. Obviously, I do my part to keep things as green as possible for climate change. But I'm just one woman doing my part, trying to prevent and continue to prevent what is forever drought in California.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried about climate.
It's all I've been saying to myself. And yeah, obviously, career, is there one? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. And yes, stuff keeps happening, but it's like the world of career, everybody's jobs, everything's like so up in the air. Politics, I can't believe I forgot to run for president. That's dragging me down. And I'm like, what's my thing now?
Right.
And sadly, it's you and the dog. And boy, what a letdown that is. And I guess this podcast, which I only do when I feel like it.
You know, I think a lot of people are feeling that, though.
That you're their thing.
No.
I don't know. I heard what you said, and so do the crowd.
People who work in the entertainment business in general, it's like, what is anything going to, like...
I think it's people who work in any business are like, what does this look like now? What is this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's you need people to make things, and it's just a tough time to do that.
Yeah, and like, really what's going to happen with our friends... What's going to happen when we can leave the house? Will we even want to, or will we be over it?
I think about that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when everything's okay and there's a vaccine and everything's back, we're not back to, but there's a version in which we go outside. Like it's weird. We were watching something on TV. Oh, it was like, we were watching The Vow.
Norm, that's private. Like I said, stop revealing our vows.
And it was this like Keith Raniere's like men's group, and they were like in a restaurant having this like
men's dinner,
like 15 person dinner. And I was just like, I couldn't even imagine what doing that ever again.
Oh my God. Imagine going to a house party. I already didn't like going to them, and now extra not going
Perfect.
To them.
Love it. Hate house parties.
But it's like, what will I like?
Great. I get to find one room and stay in there and then drink 10 beers, get too drunk and leave in an Uber.
Yeah. But now what? I'm just finding a spot in somebody's backyard. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I'm doing it in my house. The spot is the living room and you know, no Uber required.
We talked about you getting tattoos and how you'd gotten a couple of mistakes, I'll go ahead and say, without your consent.
Sure.
Because you needed to feel a sense of something permanent.
Right.
And I'm feeling that right now. I'm feeling like...
You had mentioned me and you going to get tattoos.
Of me, yeah. For the both of us. And just couldn't land on a drawing, I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, you were drawing them.
Yeah, so once I can nail those portrait skills, you better believe we're gonna get inked, Kat Von D me much. But I'm definitely feeling very unstable, like I think everybody is. So I'm like, what can I grasp onto? And it's like, what am I going to do? Have a baby and then look at its ugly fucking face for the rest of my life?
It might be cute.
No, Norm, get a life. If it has your features, yes. If it has mine, it's going to look like the fucking devil. Like, I grew up looking like a potato or Rob Ford, former mayor of Toronto.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do look like, you know, dried out Don Knotts.
And that's now, like, you guys got to see how dry I am. I keep ripping skin off my lips. Like, I'm literally drying out.
You're drying out.
I'm trying to tell you, the pandemic is sucking the life out of me.
And the
water is life. And the liquid. Like, you guys got to see how dry I am. My skin, I'm cracking up over here. And I'm not talking about lofts. It's just like, we're both sitting here with our arms on our hips here, our hands on our hips.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. Like, what is it going to take to get me wet?
We're both dumbfounded. And
about
and,
how dry I am.
Dry as hell.
Oh, my God. If the audience out there and listeners...
I stopped sleeping with the fan on. That helps.
Well, that's because it was drying out my throat. Yes. If the audience or listeners out there... audience, just in case somebody's peeping through the window for Tom. If anybody has any suggestions as to what I can do to stop drying out, please tweet at selfesteemparty. Hashtag get wet. And please give me your suggestions about how to moisten up my life and body. Thank you so much.
I don't know why. It's like the oldest. It's a joke that only, you know, makes sense 10 years ago. But opening up a window and you're like, oh, I wonder if there's a peeping Tom out here. And then it's just Tom from MySpace.
Oh, my God. What's he up to? I bet he's soaking in a pool of his own happiness.
Yeah. He is. He sold that company probably for $1 billion.
Isn't he something? I shouldn't have said no to him when he came for me.
Wait, did you have an offer to be with Tom from MySpace?
I wrote him and am still awaiting a reply.
He was in your top eight?
He was in my top grade. Hello, and I'm not the only lady squeaking that. Well, I've gotten out everything I need to say. Shall we get to it?
Yeah, well, wait. I said I'm a five, and you were a seven?
At the end, now I'm a seven. Yeah, post-Chris. Yeah, exactly. And I think I do say that at
the
end of it.
Let's hear from Chris.
I would love to. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a dear friend, a fantastic comic. He has a podcast, which we will get into, and an album coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Locke.
It's a self-esteem party.
Chris, welcome to what some people are calling the best pandemic podcast in town, according to me. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm in Toronto. You're in LA.
And isn't that just the biggest news in town?
Yes. I mean, geez, like, can't this whole world come together just for once? We're trying the best we can, don't you think?
Yeah, come together for once for this podcast.
Yeah.
Just for this recording. Yeah.
Alana, we're doing every single damn thing we can, you and I, don't you think, to help the world come together?
Yeah, to bring the world together, to end the pandemic in terms of science, in terms of friendship. We're doing everything.
Yeah. The scientists are like really out of it. They have no idea about the friendship aspect of bringing everyone back together.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you need people like us to help out with that.
I'm convinced Dr. Fauci has no friends. I've never seen him tweet at anybody. I've never seen him with another person in a photo previous to the pandemic. By the way, we call it a pandemic on this podcast just to make it a little more fun.
Oh, sure. I can do that. Pandemic. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. On my podcast, which is called Happy Good with Chris Locke, if I start touching on any of the crazy stuff that's happening right now, I say, nope, we're not. And then, like, we get out of there fast. We don't go there at all, basically.
I mean, Norm and I have gone there a couple of times because we've done, when we don't have a guest, it's called a pandemic session where we just talk about where we're at in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, it's pretty fun because it's a lot of Norm and I just going, what the fuck are we going to do? It's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, gets pretty
cathartic. Well, that's cathartic for people too. Yeah. I mean, I hope my podcast doesn't encourage repression. I don't mean to repress it at all. But for a half hour when you turn into Happy Good, I mean, if I say pandemic, you're right. That's way better. But
yeah, fun.
You don't hear about it.
Well,
I do say I start off each podcast by being like, the world is hell and horror and terror and pain and fear. But anyways, here we go. You know what I mean?
That's right. And it's a meditation, right?
Well, I mean, aversion. It kind of started that way, but now it's just like, it might just be like listening to an insane dumb guy.
But, oh, okay. That's not really in the, that's actually not in the description of your podcast.
I would describe it, I know. Yeah, I would describe it more as like a guided meditation led by a guy who's been bonked on the head by a frying pan.
Wow, you got to update that description. Now that's a podcast I'm willing to listen to.
Yeah, I get really distracted and I digress and riff, and it's also meant, it helps, but people, I have gotten lots of feedback from different people from all over. I got messages from someone in the Middle East recently who said that they've got their friends into it over there, which is pretty crazy. I got people in the UK, in the States, Australia, and so they do say it does help them relax, and it's been helping them get through the pandemic. But I want to say that I'm also clearly being funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, 100%. I think that
I can't not be stupid and funny.
No, so. You can't. Well, you were bonked in the head with a frying pan, so it makes sense.
I know. I know, and I keep trying to bonk my head more and more to try and get back to being serious, and it gets worse and worse.
I think, I do think that is a first symptom of a concussion. I will say a meditation, and at least for me, when I try to do a quote-unquote real meditation, is distracting. Mm-hmm. My mind does wander, and they call that out in the meditation, that that's okay. So it's like, I think if your podcast had started as what's a meditation and then kind of like drifts away or riffs and semi comes back, it's like, that's the point. It's just a state of like, to me, meditation is a state of just being open to whatever is right now. So is that not what you're doing?
Totally. And, you know, the positivity, the relaxing, like I am riffing about relaxing, nice, wonderful things. And also I should say the music in the background is this like, original ambient music made by Drew Smith, the musician.
We love Drew Smith on this podcast.
Yeah, so he did the music tracks for me, and they literally sound like you're floating on like cotton candy clouds, you know.
Oh my god.
So I am taking you to like absurd, silly, relaxing, beautiful places, you know. Like the latest episode I just released, episode 26, is called Jolly Rancher Land. And basically the whole world is like, the ground is taut like a bouncy castle, and it's striped like all the different colors of the Jolly Rancher candies. And then you're walking across it in a very loose, snuggy, kind of like Teletubby type outfit, and which feels like a terry cloth towel, like, you know, rubbing against your butt cheeks.
Beautiful.
So stuff like that.
So in this podcast, I like to do a self-esteem party check-in, which goes perfect with what you're saying right now. So I need to do a two-part with you, okay?
Sure.
So the first part I'd like to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem and how you're feeling about yourself and all of that, what would that number be? And it can be today, the last couple days, the last couple weeks, but what would you say that number is? Your kind of pandemic self-esteem party check-in.
I would say today, in the last like few days, it's been 8.
Wow.
But yes, but normally it's a 3. And I'll tell you the two factors that I can maybe attribute it to it. Usually I'm moping around in a 3, total Eeyore styles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like nobody likes me. Mm-hmm. And I shaved my mustache off a week ago, and now I got a new look going. I'm listening. Oh, so maybe at 3 factors. I'm using the Noom Act, so I'm not overeating as much. Noom app, I mean. I said act, but whatever. Noom app. So I'm not overeating as much, and I find the Noom app is like really positive and encouraging. It's really nice. I recommend it.
Okay.
Costs a little bit of money though. And I would say, I also listened to an audiobook about self-esteem. Do you want me to look it up and tell you which one it is?
Actually, no, that would be great. I do love a good recommendation.
But I mean, like, everybody listening, don't worry about the book. Just keep listening to Alana's podcast.
I'll read the book, okay, and I will choose what I feel the people need to hear. Okay, so that... Yeah. So
the book is called Nathaniel Brandon, The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. And I'm only on chapter one, and I already feel great, so what the hell?
I feel I could just kind of steal that title and just say five pillars. And then yeah, that way it's kind of,
you can make up as many
thing.
Pillars as you want.
Yeah, I can do as many pillars yeah. as I want. So, okay, so this is very interesting.
I feel like if you met Nathaniel Brandon, you would get jealous and you would kill him.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And steal all his ideas.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I could just buy the book, or I could murder him and steal the ideas directly from his person. I think you're right. It could play out either way. Okay, so let's...
There's got to be a way that we could murder this... helpful human being and make him disappear from society so no one remembers, and then we steal all those good ideas.
Maybe all we have to do is lower his self-esteem and then he fades away. Is that not what it feels like? So wait, a three normally...
Yeah, that'd be so funny if it was like, no, I have to say this one joke. I'm sorry, Alana.
I insist.
Okay, we read in the newspapers, self-esteem author Nathaniel Brandon found walking into the ocean, disappeared forever, whatever. I realized I ruined it when I said found. We didn't find him.
Whatever is the end of the article. whatever. Hey, guys.
Every article should end with whatever these days. Holy crap.
Yeah, because people...
I'm so sorry I interrupted you to say that terrible, stupid joke. No. Whatever.
No, now I know how to end a podcast. Whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Every time I'm on, they end it that way. What the hell?
Well... you're normally a three. The makeover brought you to an eight. Can I ask, when you... The second part I wanted to ask was, after you record, does that ever change your mood? Because it changes mine. But does it ever change your mood? Like, does your podcast work on you?
I actually say this on the podcast that, like, you know, because I cheer people up and I say all these nice things. But I tell people, like, look, I am a bitter, cynical, negative person. I fight it all the time. You know, so this podcast actually helps me. So I really do like to thank everybody who's listening and checking it out and spreading the word, because it helps me too, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, see, I love hearing that. And that's what I was curious about, because there's all kinds of podcasts. But when you do one specific to like feeling or trying to do positivity, and this podcast isn't always positive, I just try to keep it honest, but it's like we usually do get some realizations out of it, or you know, things like that, whatever.
Yeah,
but it does change my mood. It like completely will turn my day around, which is why I try to record in the morning, because you know, sometimes I'm sure you relate to this, you just wake up and you're in it, you're like the day is done. You're like, somehow you're like, it's already over. You're like, I can't with today. Then you would record, or the equivalent, if you didn't record, like shave your mustache, do something, change something, and then you're like, I've turned the day around. Save the day.
I like how you called it a makeover. That'd be so funny if I went on one of those makeover shows and they just shaved my mustache.
Yeah, but it's like,
and they're like, look at you.
The rest of you look so bad.
I'm just like schlubby still, but like with no mustache to hide behind anymore.
And then they bring you in to like see the, you know how like they always gather the family and all the friends at like an event, a party, and then you make your debut and everyone's like, okay, what else? Waiting to see. Yeah. And then you're like, well, with your no mustache.
They're like, oh, I don't know. Put on this golf shirt we found. Sorry. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at me.
Yeah, we thought you would have like started wearing belts or something. Just like any other change, I think would have been appropriate.
You show up to a makeover show and they ask you if you brought any clothing options yourself.
Yeah, but all your clothes suck. So it's like, that's the whole
point. Did you bring
like
a nicer shirt by chance?
I don't own one. All right, we'll work with what we've got.
Shave the mustache off.
So I had an experience yesterday where I put on a dress for a nice dress for the first time in like 7 months. This would be the equivalent to your mustache shaving. I felt like a new person, like a brand new person.
Well, that's amazing, because that's kind of, I didn't say everything, but I have been like, you know, pandemic.
Okay. Now I'm listening.
Pandemic-y? No, yeah. Pandemic.
Pandemic schlubby. I've been, yes.
Well, yeah, lately I've been pandelicagilistic. And, right?
No, honestly, Chris, whatever, you're killing it. Keep going.
I would call it pandicky myself. It's a little pandicky. But yeah, I've been schlubby. So I've been like hoodies, baseball caps, and whatever. And so when I shave my mustache, and you know, in Toronto, the autumn weather is here. Mm-hmm. And we've got the rich fall weather here in Ontario. It's beautiful. So I've been like kind of jazzing myself up a bit too. I know exactly what you're talking about with the dress. Like I've got a bit more of a nice shirt on every now and then. I'm a bit more conscientious. Some autumn sweaters, you know?
Oh, yes.
It totally boosts the mood, 100%.
Well, it's because it makes
taking
you,
care of yourself.
Taking care of yourself, makes you feel like you have somewhere to go and something to do. Because normally that is when you would put that stuff on. And like, I tried to compromise. Tell me what you think of this. I bought cute lounge outfits. You know, like a nice tracksuit. So I'm like meeting in the middle because I am at home and I have a problem with jeans in the house. I don't know how you feel about that. I have a big problem with jeans in the house.
They're not that comfortable.
And everyone's like, these jeans are comfy. And I'm like, you're lying to yourself. Like, I'm not listening to you. You have a button holding you in. How is that comfortable?
They're comfy 5 years later, maybe.
Yeah, but then they have crotch holes
by then.
Like,
you
have to
wear them to death.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a hole in your crotch by then, too.
Exactly. So it's
no, I'm with you. But the thing is like, you bought something nice to pamper yourself, to jazz yourself up. That is 100% the same thing. The same deal. You're making yourself feel good. I think that's great. I've definitely been a little bit indulgent sometimes with some of the stuff I've bought because I'm like, it's a pandemic. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I know, dude. You're like, for what? For who? What's the point in new jeans to go wearing? Like, what?
Yeah, I know. Like, I got to go outside with my mask on, take my mask off, take the photo, put it on Instagram, and run back inside.
I mean, 100%, dude. You know it. It's like, this is everyone's life to a T, and anybody out there acting like you're doing it any different, you are lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
the only thing is like, at least we're not like running out there for 2 seconds in hot clothes, pretending that we're helping repair after a protest and then going back in our like SUV and taking off. As long as you're not doing that.
Welcome to LA. That's us. I'll take responsibility.
I know. I saw
that.
All the footage.
Yeah. Ugh.
That was really hard because in those, the post George Floyd weeks, it was like, because the pandemic already killed us. We were already dead in a way. And we were all trying to be funny and entertaining still and cheer everybody up in the first few weeks. And this is, maybe I'm just talking about myself. But then it was, you were dying inside. You were like, wait, my whole life is absurd. What have I been doing with my life? And then the George Floyd thing happened and you realized how much dark, thick, like molasses, evil, negativity, pain and terror really existed out there.
Yes.
And half of the people are fine with it and encourage it. And then you were just like, really, like, you cared, but you were like very dead inside for years.
Yes.
But you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it's like, now I think we're in this post, like, we've been brutally punished. We've been hurt. And all this empathetic people and people with emotions that actually like care about the world and want it to be like a love driven kind of place. We're trying to, I don't know what we're doing right now. We're kind of just like numbly taking care of ourselves. And we've kind of, I feel like there's a vibe has bounced back where it's so absurd and ridiculous and surreal now that we are trying to be funny again and cheer everybody up. Like, it's weird.
I completely agree
with you. But we went through the ringer and we had to build ourselves back up.
Well, it was just, we're lost. All we
Not
know.
Not to take away from like people that are extremely suffering, but you
no,
know what I'm
No, but
like,
it was a suffering of losing yourself. So you know what I mean? Like, there's different levels of suffering. They're all valid to an extent. At some point you have to like, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself and be like, other people are going through things, obviously. But it's like, I have a lot of comics that come on feeling the same way. It was like, you've lost yourself, and because all we knew was comedy. And it's like, you know, you would use it to relieve situations, maybe with one person if they were ill, or one bad thing that happened or whatever. But when it's the entire world suffering, you're like, well, I can't reach this audience. What can I say if I do? Like, it's weird. It was really weird. And I think we are at a place
where, and you get like, you know, self-conscious, yes, and paranoid about the ego aspect of it. Because you're like, am I just doing this for myself? Like, yes. Am I a needy psychopath?
Yes.
And then a bit of it is, yeah, probably, for sure. But like, you know, no, people tell you, like, if you've been doing comedy for a long time, people tell you they appreciate what you do, and you make them laugh. And so it is like a career also that you built up over all these years, but it does feel super weird for a long time.
Yeah. And like,
when you don't want to make light of hell, you
exactly
know?
But, and when you were saying feeling like a three, sometimes when I'm feeling a lower number, it is because of that, because you're like, I am struggling with my ego. So you're like, I hate that I care, that I want validation of comedy. That makes me feel bad about myself. Like, how shallow am I? But then you're like, oh, I realize I have nothing else in my life, and I am so empty without it. So it's like, I don't know if you experience that as well, but like, that's definitely been bringing me down. I'm like struggling with like, am I a person with morals that cares about more than just myself and laughs? But then you're also like, but it was my job and it helped other people. So,
oh man, right? I went to the ringer 500 times. I was like, am I a real man? Should I build a birdhouse? Should I become a gardener?
Should I build
What if I buy a boat and just aim for the sun? You know what I mean? Like, just sail a boat towards wherever the sun is setting and see if a whale eats me. Like, I have no idea what to do.
I mean, the way that I know Norm is a man is he's been building various size houses around town. And I think to myself, now that's a man, every time I see a various size house.
But a lot of people did start showing up on Instagram like, look, everyone, I'm a beekeeper now. And you're like, what the hell? Kevin?
So I have a question for you that is specific to you being in Toronto. I've talked about this with my sister, who's also in Toronto.
Yes, I love your sister.
My sister loves you. My sister is like, she's, for those of you who don't know, she has been on the podcast. She's a filmmaker, director in Toronto. She specifically works with a lot of comics. So it's really cool that she's on the other side. I'm a little cool, but I think she's cooler than me because everyone's like, oh, she's not too much. Was definitely something I had that was a bit of an issue.
Yeah, but I like people that are a character. We need different types of people in this world, like, whatever.
Well, this is why you and I always got along, though. We're both weird. Like, we love it. We think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, look at our podcast. We're like, this is a great idea. Like... we're essentially making the same podcast, and we're like, sounds good.
Yeah, I was originally gonna name my podcast Am I Helping You? And you had to say it in that voice.
Yeah, when you like read it out for yourself downloading it, you had to say it that way.
Oh, have you guys heard of the podcast Am I Helping You? It's a real freaky guy.
Yeah, like, there's a bit of a
his
witchy.
His arm reaches out of the speakers and tries to tickle your ear.
But it's like, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
She's, no, not at all. She's, we were talking about the winter coming, and the winter already
on its own
is, yes, very isolating. And I'm wondering,
oh yeah, we're
going to
kill ourselves.
Okay,
what are we going to do?
This is what I'm wondering. Are you worried about it?
No, honestly, 100%, I'm going to kill myself. No, Chris. I'm just joking. Okay, please don't. I'm just joking. Anyone who's... no, it's going to be hard as hell. But yeah, I think the thing is maybe a lot of people don't know. Is Allison worried? Is that why she brought it up? Yeah, we're all worried. I
was just asking her the vibe, like, what's everybody? Because she's definitely worried, like, one of two things. She's worried that people are going to start doing sneaky house hangs, which is a bad idea, obviously.
Do what?
Oh, house hangs, like indoor hangs, because you can't hang out outside anymore. And then she's worried about, you know, or the other end of not being able to see anybody. So both extremes.
Well, one thing is speaking of sneaky, HPs. I think that
sneaky.
Like Kathleen and I, that's my wife. Luckily, we have a ginormous balcony where we live, and might get a little heater. So if you show up to our place with a mask on and go directly to the balcony, I haven't done this yet, and have not sure if we're gonna do it. But if our tight knit group of friends, I'm just brainstorming this now, actually. If our tight knit group of friends have been safe the whole time, we're still going to social distance. You can definitely still hang out 6 feet away on our balcony and in chairs and have a drink or whatever. I think we can do that. But otherwise, we have two young daughters, 4.5 and 2 years old. And we're seeing our parents, like our moms are, you know,
right
in their late 60s. So we're actually being really, really tight. So we're not, I don't think we're going to do like, I'm not going to go to a house party or anything.
No, I think you have to be extra tight but also when you have having kids.
Having the kids makes me not blow my brains out, though, because then that'd be gross for them to find. But the thing
and
is...
And that's the only reason.
Yeah, I don't want to gross them out. No, I'm sorry if there's people out there who had an unfortunate incident when they were kids, but... Years later, they talk to their therapist and they say, oh, when I was about 5 years old, my dad really grossed me out.
Yeah, that's...
sorry, that's a really dark joke. I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
Gross, they said.
And wasn't it just Mental Health Awareness Day like yesterday or something like that? Oh my God.
You know what my problem is I always skip those things.
Yeah, I skip the events. I skip the parade.
I got to take care of myself. I will tell you guys, whoever's listening right now, honestly, I can get really dark, but I talk to a therapist. I read self-help books. I use comedy to express the darkness. I am totally joking. I love everybody. Don't hurt yourself. I love you.
Everybody has their own way of dealing with things. Everyone does. Yeah. It's not, some people it has to be comedy.
I love dark comedy.
Yeah. It's just everybody has their thing. And some people, maybe the dark comedy they can relate to. So it's like, I don't think it's something you necessarily need to, punish yourself about. Obviously you believe in mental health, issues and try to address your own totally. As well. So it's like that, that's when it's a problem. When somebody like is taboo about it and doesn't or acknowledge it. That's the problem. It's not the people who are trying to cope with it. It's the people that are like, get your life together. And you're like, excuse me? Like, what are you
There's
talking
gonna be
about?
One crazy cool guy with like a big beard and like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shirt who's listening to this episode, and he'll be like, ha-ha, grossed him out. That was funny.
Yeah, we got the one guy. We got him.
I got
and
you.
Sir,
I got you.
Sir, if you're listening, please tweet at self-esteem party, hashtag gross out, so we know. Just so Chris knows. But
I
yeah,
mean,
the
okay,
kids are helping you.
Alone. I'm sorry.
You were saying, don't,
yes,
don't apologize.
The, thing
the
is,
kids are helping.
Like, yeah, the subject got off into a crazy dark tangent, but yeah, like... I have kids, and the real thing is to be honest, they're so funny, they're so cute, they're so lovely, and the four of us have dance parties, we laugh, they make us laugh every day, so if you want to edit out the dark part, the real truth is my children, we all cheer each other up, like it's just like...
Oh, wow.
I'm not as in a dark, lonely place as I was, you know, before. I do think, you know, you still can feel isolated even within a close-knit family sometimes, depending on how you're feeling and anxiety and neuroses and all that. But every now and then, like a little, like one of my daughters will do something so funny and you just laugh, and it does get you through, like the family helping each other out.
I'll definitely say, because obviously there's a lot of people in quarantine by themselves. And a lot of the feedback I've been hearing from people is watching old comedies, like rewatching. I mean, The Nanny's on Amazon Prime, Sister Sister is on Netflix. You got your Seinfeld, your Friends. And I've been doing it myself too, because it's one, it's comforting. Because you like already, you know it, and you're like, you know you like it. And
definitely.
Yeah, and two, it was a different time. So it's like different references, different things happening. And it's almost because I want people to be aware of what's happening in the world right now. I mean, my God, please be aware that we're in a pandemic and, you know, all social injustice, all these education reform, all these things that need to happen. But like, sometimes you need to check out a bit and be like, oh, yes, this is what it used to be. And then it's kind of interesting to be like, how have we progressed? How have we not? And stuff like that. But like the old comedies have just been such a comfort to me and taking me back to a place where like maybe it wasn't as severe all at the exact same time. The issues existed, but maybe not simultaneously in that way. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the put on your comfy clothes thing. It's like put on your comfy. Like I've been watching, I love really old stuff. Like, Marx Brothers movies and W.C. Fields and stuff like that. Like,
yes.
I like the really silly comedy. And if you put that stuff on, it's so, like, it's so lighthearted. And those guys are all, like, vaudeville trained for mm-hmm. years before they even made the film. So the comedy just runs through every inch of their blood. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's really super fun, relaxing, like, vintage comedy. I really, and vintage cartoons.
Yes.
I'm a huge proponent for, like, I'm with you. Like, yeah, put on your comfy clothes, put on your comfy, like, movies, shows, whatever, anything you can do. Yeah, I felt like I made a dark joke about suicide and then I bragged about having a family.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm being awful right now. There is a lot of lonely people out there that are like, Jesus Christ, I'm not touching this guy's podcast with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, we get it. Your kids are perfect.
To be honest, I don't even notice the pandemic.
To be honest, actually, this podcast has been news to me.
What?
Yeah, I'm the one that told you about the pandemic. It was me. I dropped the bomb on you.
Yeah, I literally stay inside all day anyways and go to the store for just some soup every now and then.
Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I didn't realize how much I was naturally inside. Obviously, you're going to notice as a comic, shows, missing shows, because that was an evening thing and you'd go out mm-hmm. and you'd be indoors for a lot of that. But I'm like, I didn't spend all day with my friends. Like I wasn't doing that anyways. It's not like I was like with them all the time. So it's like, if you see somebody outside, which you guys have been able to do in the summer and now into this beautiful fall, but I'm like, you know, you're like, okay, it's not like so crazy. But you know, the numbers going up, you're like, okay, now I have to rethink a couple things. So, you know, it might start, we might start feeling it.
Yeah. Comedians are home a lot because you're trying to generate, or coffee shops. I just had to work from home more than going to a coffee shop. But like, also I think for me, a lot of the depression still comes from, like we were on stage almost every night, making everybody laugh, getting that instant gratification from the laughs,
mm-hmm.
Cutting that off. And I've been doing that for like, I've been working on it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And cutting that off, it's like, I've almost got, I definitely, there's like some trauma related to that, because I almost, like in my head, I for a while especially, it's hard to explain, but I basically was hating on stand-up for the first like 3 or 4 months. Like, stand-up sucks, it's over, it's stupid. And it was, I was like, why am I, what? It's like, it was totally a defense mechanism because I didn't want to like miss it or think that I can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
so
then you're like,
I kinda
well, when?
Turned it into like, stand-up is shit, comedy is shit anyways, it's stupid, why do we do it? It's like I was saying really dark negative stuff so that I would, it was like avoiding it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've lost my sense of self. I can like confidently say that. That's the only thing I can confidently say. I didn't realize how much I let, and this is for anybody whose work situation has changed. I didn't realize how much I let work affect me. And even if people are working now, you know, if you were used to office friends and that office lifestyle and getting your gratification there in person, and now you're working from home by yourself, in any job, it's going to affect mm-hmm. you. Or even like teachers who are in a lot of places back at work, it's not the same way. You can't have the same relationship with the kids and the closeness and like, you know, and there's not even all the same amount of students in there. And some of them it's like through a computer now, but it's like, I've lost my sense of self. I'm so, I just didn't realize I let work define me, and I didn't even think one day I might not have it. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to brag for you. You have a family, you invested in something. What the fuck did the rest of us do? It's like, oh my God, dude, I didn't even realize, like, why didn't I go home and see my family more? Why didn't I do all these things that like had long-term benefits? And we just lived for the instant gratification, and it's gone for now.
Yeah.
Maybe forever.
I don't know either.
Yeah, shit. What have I done? I'm the one grossing everyone out. What have I done?
But you're way younger than me too, though, right?
No.
Like, yeah.
Not way younger. How old are you?
I'm 42.
I'm 36. I'm way younger than you.
Oh.
I know. Don't I look like 12?
Well, I guess like I still think of you as like around the time I met you.
Yeah. Well, we met. I met you.
You were really young.
Yeah. We met like over 10 years ago. We met like
I was still 42, but you were like 25.
Yeah. You were 42 the whole time.
That's the thing that 25. I've got up on everybody is I'm literally frozen in time.
Yeah, and I do remember that. I kept thinking something's not adding up.
I've honestly been 42 for 600 years. So I have seen different plagues come and go. It'll be fine.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know what you mean because I've done some outdoor I did two outdoor shows in the summer. And I did, a handful of those Zoom shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what you were saying about the teachers. We're not actually doing what we do.
Right.
It was like outdoor shows. You're like shouting. So there's no subtlety or, you have to basically project to people far away. And then the Zoom shows, it's like there's tired people that you can see lounging on their lazy boy, half watching you. It's not the same.
No.
But I have like, that's why my podcast is funny too, because I'm being creative for half hour once a week. And then you adapt. It's all, if you have a Zoom recorder, you can adapt. If you have a laptop, you can adapt. And Sean Cullen and I have met up a bunch in social distance settings. And right before the pandemic started, we did this thing where we're called Tony and Keith. And we hang out and like riff together just nonsense. And so we just released an album of that.
I love that.
It's called Chris and Sean are Tony and Keith in Nature. And it's just us being like, it's pretty chill. We're just being surreal and stupid talking to each other like two weird guys.
And good for you for getting four first names in there. You know, not a lot of people can pull that off in an album title.
I know. It's really clunky. It's chunky. It's nice.
It's a chunky title for sure.
Yeah, it chunks right out at you. But we just did a social distance recording of a mini album, which is like we called together like three tracks, and it's a Halloween themed one that will be out in like a week or so.
Okay.
And it's really funny. I really love these ones. It's called Chris and Sean are Tony and Keith in Horror. And I think if you guys ever want to put it on, you'll love it. It's insanely silly. And so that's kind of scratching my creative itches a bit more. And I have noticed that me and Sean meeting up social distance styles, riffing together and being silly, really like, maybe that's what it is. Because we recorded it about a week ago over a few days. You know, we record like about 10 tracks and then we call our like favorites or whatever that are like the tightest, funniest ones. But you know what? That's probably what it is because I've been really happy and satisfied for like a week and it has been, the creativity has been part of it too.
That's where you came into the eight, like because you shaved your mustache, it was creativity meets self-care, which are two really big things. Like that's like career meets personal care and well-being. It's like,
yeah,
what else do you need? Like that's a lot to be able to get satisfaction.
Your podcast is helping you. Yeah, your
honestly,
podcast is helping you
already. Now you've just got me in such a sky high mood, and I because I have been feeling a little low. I'm starting.
I saw a music video you made too.
Oh, was it Put Attention
sorry
on
to
me?
Cut you off, but I want to squeeze that in.
Was it Put Attention on Me, the of Norm and I?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Thanks. We did that. That was at the beginning of the pandemic when we were like, you know what? Let's express ourselves. And now I haven't spoken to him in 7 months.
Norm?
Yeah, he's right behind me. we text only. Text. No, I haven't heard a voice except for on the podcast in 7 months. No voice.
As long as you guys have like a nodding type of deal.
We've got some nods. Fun. Yeah, we're like baseball. Mm-hmm. We're like where we do the nods to each other so we know what's going on. Dinner time, breakfast time.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. We got a dog.
Yeah, no, I said it was so lovely having a family with the two girls and my wonderful wife. I am lucky, but I got to admit, all I do when I walk around them is I go, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Quiet.
Quiet down.
Now, quiet. Chris, we have known each other for a very long time, over 10 years, over a decade, mm-hmm. some say. And you had said normally you're... around a three, like you had said on your own podcast, you have introduced yourself as like a bitter type guy, something like that. Where did that mm-hmm. come from? Like where, how did that come to be? Like, was that what was going on 10 years ago when you were 42 and I met you? Or is that just because of the pandemic? Like what kind of has,
I think
have
it
the
was actually
been?
Worse when you met me.
Really?
I think it was worse when you met me because I hadn't gone to therapy. I think like, okay. I, you know, it's weird because if you really want to get into it, it's like a giant therapy session, you know, like I have to kind of go back to the beginning, you know, like mommy or whatever, you know what I mean? But I think that it was weird. I talk about this. I didn't have a lot of self-esteem because my mom is kind of like an alpha dog, and so I was never good enough for her type of thing.
Okay. Yep.
And then we get into comedy and acting, and it's very competitive, especially mm-hmm. in Canada. But I have American friends. It's the same in LA.
Yeah.
It's really like cutthroat in LA. I've been there, you know, but like, you know what I'm talking about? It's you have these dark thoughts, and even if you're not hating on another person, you're putting it back on yourself. So if you see the success of another person, it's not that you hate that person. You might say like some mean joke about the person, like they didn't deserve their success or something, but really you're just being awful to yourself.
Yeah.
I had that. I have it. I still have to like you, but the thing is the older you get, you acknowledge it and you're like, shut up. You know what I mean?
Shut up to yourself.
Yeah. Like there's all kinds of weird stuff that happened, growing up in the comedy scene, like, you know, there's like people are being so nice and but you know everybody's weirdly competitive because there's just scraps here if that for success, you know.
Yeah. I completely,
so I think I'm
understand.
Really hard on myself like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's people that are like famous right now that are being heralded as like super funny, and right now I could literally think of some people where I'm like, fuck that. I'm way funnier than that sucker.
Story of my life.
But what are you supposed to do?
Yeah,
you know,
story
what are you supposed
of my
to
life.
Do?
Nothing.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be honest about that stuff. I think it gets worse when you suppress that stuff and try to be like super happy-go-lucky, goody-goody all the time.
You can but be happy for people, somebody to be like, I'm glad exactly. you're working, but I also feel I should be working. I think you that can coexist. Why does it, you have to be happy for someone and then be down on yourself? Like, that doesn't make sense. You can also be like, but I also wish I had a job. I should have a job as well. Right? Like, that is that entitlement
it's
or is
totally,
that confidence?
No, I know. But that's the thing. You're right. Because it's like, how do you interpret it for yourself? And if you're hard on yourself and you're mean to yourself and insecure and stuff, that's how you interpret it. You think you're being like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, but like, but then when you go out, but that's when you're in your head and when you're by yourself or you're just scrolling through Twitter like day in and day out. But when you go out and meet people at the comedy clubs, you're so happy to see everybody and it's so fun and you love laughing and it's so much joy. So you just got to remind yourself like, I'm just literally dwelling in the dark caverns of my mind right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I need to go and see the sun or something, you know?
Yeah. I think it's really hard to, because we're pitted against each other. Literally, you audition for a role and your friend is there in the waiting room. Like, you are pit against one another for one job.
Yeah.
So it's hard to not do that comparison. But it's like, I've said this on the podcast before. I wonder what you think of it or if you agree. When are we going to stop hating ourselves? Like when when does it end? Seriously, when does it end? Right?
But you keep, the weird thing is you keep learning about it and getting better, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then would you get better if you never had to learn about it? It's this weird yin yang thing, you know? It's like you need the pain and suffering to appreciate the good and the happy.
Yeah, because I wonder if it was all handed to me. But if it was handed to you when you thought you should have it. Like, say, when we were in our young 20s. I mean, you've never experienced that. You've been 42 for 600 years. But when the rest of us were in our young 20s, and you're like, I'm the best. Yeah, when you were watching me. But you know that feeling where you're like, I'm the best and blah, blah, blah. Like, that almost cockiness. If we had gotten it then, the way I see it, if I had gotten what I thought I deserved, I'd have fucking blown it. I know I would have. I didn't have the maturity. I know I would have fucked up. Like, addiction already got the best of me. I can't imagine what it would have been if I had some serious fucking cash backing me up.
Like, oh, yeah? Really?
Oh, addiction? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, Chris, what a wild ride it's been. And I'll say this. Wow. I'm okay with it because I'm like, everybody has their vices in one way or another. And some people, it is comedy. Like, some people are addicted to shows and can't, if they don't have them, they feel they have, like, nothing. Like, some people are addicted to that audience and needing that validation. Like, everyone has something. Everybody's got something. It's just, if some are preventing you from functioning in the regular life, or are some helping you, like look at eating. There's some people like addicted to healthy eating that it's like the end of the world if you gave them a piece of bread, which, by the way, bread isn't necessarily unhealthy. I don't know why everybody deemed it that way, but do you know what I mean? Like, there's different, like, I'm talking extremism of like everything. And
definitely,
I agree with you that if we you don't have one without the other. So it's like, yeah, we kind of needed a kick in the dick. And now we're like, okay, I understand that humbling experience. And you made a good point about therapy, though, that you, because to do it by yourself, I mean,
it helped me a lot,
to do it on your own, and not have a third party to talk to, or like someone outside to talk to, because a comic can only help you so much. They're in it as well. Is really tough. I promote therapy to absolutely everybody. And you don't have to be in it all the time, but just at some point to have had someone to check in with. You don't have to always be in therapy, but at some point, don't you need to like get something off your chest?
Yeah, it's like cleaning out a rock from a shoe, you know? It's just, you know?
Yeah, I personally am like, putting those rocks in my shoe, and I every time I slip that shoe on, I keep thinking, why did I do this? Now I'm going to get this right back
weird
out.
Too, 'cause like, since my 20s, I've sort of, like, you know, I go in and out of it, but I've always had an interest in like Zen and Taoism and the ancient like Hindu stuff too, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because it's always about, it's the spirituality I really enjoy, because it is about letting go of the ego and the self, and learning that you are actually everything, like you're connected with everything, you know, kind of like how you feel when you do shrooms.
But, right.
you know, so I was reading that stuff all the time and I was kind of getting it. And then therapy actually helped me understand it even more in a weird way.
Right.
Like I was taking psychodynamic therapy, and it was really weird. I don't know why, but this sort of clarity about going deep into myself, like it made me realize how much I was like stuck in all the stuff at the front of your mind, like the BS ego stuff that you make up. It's like you're living there and you weren't going past it. And there's a part where you go to your sort of like, you can allow yourself to, you find yourself sitting like cross-legged or something in your unconscious, looking forward at the bullshit being projected, like almost like a film or something. And when you can see it objectively like that, you're like, oh, haha, yeah, actually that is nothing. And my psychotic mind made that up, and I can actually skirt around it because, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you're blowing my mind right now, but it's removing yourself from it. It's just outside looking in, really.
Yeah, but it's like sometimes you helping yourself and giving yourself a balm, like BALM, to like relax and calm down and de-stress or whatever, it's still, unless you have a professional sort of like guide you, whether it's like a meditation guru or a therapist or something, your ego is weirdly still attached. Mm-hmm. Like you're being like, you're like, oh, I'm being cool because I'm meditating now and I know more than other people because I've read a book about Zen. Like there's still ego attached to you trying to calm yourself down,
yeah,
and learn about yourself. You actually need like an objective party to be like, yeah, but you're still doing this. Or like, you know what I mean? Or
I agree with you.
You're in this cycle that you're not aware of type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I meditate. It's a guided meditation and I do it. It's like different themes on this app I use. So like one of them, it could be about...
Which one?
Simple Habit.
Headspace?
I really like it. No, Simple Habit.
Okay.
And it has like some coaching sessions, some meditation. But I do it not to enlighten myself. I do it to hear someone else speak other than myself. So just a different voice in the day.
That's cool.
And I don't think it's... I'm not going to say it's improved me. It just gives me a moment, a reason to have to be still for 10 minutes a day. So, because I agree with you. Mm-hmm. The ego is, even you being like, I'm helping myself. It's like all of that is attached to ego. Mm-hmm. And because of like, for me, my low numbers of self-esteem, feeling those threes is all because of ego. So it's like, until I can truly let that go, and I don't think I have... And I love the things that you're saying of to be able to work your way towards that. But until I let that go, all I'm doing is like taking a breath, but I'm not moving forward or to the next level. And maybe I'm not ready to. Maybe not yet. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird and wild time.
Well, the ancient like, you know, Buddha, basically the Buddhists, like you don't reach and you just keep going. Yeah, because you might not reach quote unquote enlightenment until like five lives away. You know what I mean? That's what they say in like the Buddha's stuff. But it's like, when I read that stuff, you know, there's still a huge like 50% of me that's like, ah, this is hokey crap.
Yeah.
You know, but like, but I think they say that, it's kind of like, they say that because it's like what we're talking about. It's just like, I don't think you can reach this. You don't reach this perfect level of calm ever mm-hmm. in your life. I don't think you really do, but I think you become comfortable with it, and you become comfortable with the pain, negativity, and the darkness, and you can acknowledge it. You know, like when you do the meditation app, they're like, you don't ignore your thoughts, acknowledge the thoughts,
yes.
but then let them pass on.
Yes,
it's the same sort of thing. The things that we're learning to acknowledge. The bitterness, the cynicism, the anger, but then we're being like, haha, I see you. And it's like that version of you that's sitting back in the unconscious watching like the ego movie. You go, yeah, but I know you're just this thing, so I'm going to let it go. You know, you just become better and better at that. You don't actually change and become a different person, you know?
Chris, I got to say, this got so much deeper than I thought it would. And I'm very grateful for that. I want to check back in with you. You started the beginning of the podcast at a 3 on the reg and then an 8 in the last couple of days, possibly because of the album and the makeover. How are you feeling right now? Do you feel any different from this conversation? Are you feeling about the same, better, worse? Because we talked about a lot. And I don't know how that makes you feel to be open and honest.
I got to admit right now I'm a 2 because I just shit myself.
Oh, wow. Hey, man, we accept all numbers on this podcast. We accept all numbers.
Why, are you feeling
numbers.
Good? Are you
you know, I'm feeling better? I'm feeling way better. I didn't say like a specific number at the beginning, but I can tell you now.
Yeah, I know.
If I had to say, I would say I'm feeling a 7. Mm-hmm. And this morning when I was journaling, and I apologize everybody for not saying it at the beginning, I kind of forgot. But I'd mm-hmm. say I was at like a 4 this morning previous to this, like when I woke up, I really got in my head. And I thank you for getting me out of my head, having a couple of laps, but also just something interesting to talk about, because it's hard to get into deep conversations that don't come out depressing. And that's not anybody's fault. Like I said, it's a weird and wild time, but it's nice to get into a deep conversation that's like kind of left me excited to think more about it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to hide from, I don't feel the need to watch Sister right now. I'm like, no, I can be present in this. And it's been a struggle to feel that. So I really do thank you.
Wow. You're welcome. You got a good buzz on. So do I. This has been lovely. And I do want to say thank you for having me. I do want to say in regards to Happy Good, because I don't know if I did it justice.
Yes, I want you to tell us, please.
That's 100% why it's funny too, is because when I first came up with the idea, it was actually it was like last fall I came up with the idea. I didn't know a pandemic was coming. So it just debuted in the pandemic, early April. But I was like, this is very, very close to being corny. So I can't take myself seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be one of these like Russell Brand guys who wants to be this sort of like ever reaching guru that will just like change your world and have legions of adoring fans. It's like, no, I'm doing this like guided meditation and peaceful, fun podcast. So, because I'm you are me, we're the same people, mm-hmm. laughing and having fun together for a half hour every week. That's it. I did have to watch that balance when I was starting it, because you know, like people trying to cheer people up, they get sick in the head and then they join a cult and then they have like sleeping with women all the time.
Yeah, and there's only the two ways to do it.
I don't know. It's, I was trying to get a lot of ideas out at once.
It's either listen to your podcast or join a cult. You heard them, guys. Now, Chris, where can we tell us? Let's get all.
If you listen to my podcast, what I'm saying is I'm not one of those guys. Sorry, that's it. Yeah.
Well, tell us where we can find your podcast, and then tell us where we can find your personal handles all on social media, so that we can find everything.
Cool. Happy Good World, or it's Happy, yeah, it's Happy Good with Chris Locke is the podcast. It's on Sonar Network. They have a website, but also, you know, it's everywhere. It's on Spotify, all the apps. All the apps? You know, Apple, all the podcast apps that's out there, streaming. I'm at Happy Good World on Twitter, at Happy Good World on Instagram, and I am at Chris Locke World on Twitter, and there I'm way more silly and nonsense. It's all silly and nonsense, whatever. That's where you can find me. I have a Patreon that's kind of getting going. I put bonus interview content on there, and I do a monthly sleep aid called Happy Good Nighty Night. That puts you to sleep, but is also, of course, just as silly as anything.
I love it.
And then, yeah, Sean Cullen and I have these albums, one out and a really good one that I'm excited about coming out in about a week or so, called Chris and Sean Are Tony and Keith in Horror. That's a lot. So
no,
that's
we'll
a lot,
take
but
it.
It's like what we were talking about. You got to be productive to stay positive. Yeah.
If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram and at Alana_Johnston on Twitter. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. I truly had a blast.
Me too. It was a great chat. Is exactly what I love talking about, and we had some good laughs. It was nice to hear from you.
All right, fantastic.
Say hi to Norm.
I will. And now we will press and record. Whoops, I didn't. Hold on. Okay, now.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the self-esteem.